right. Hello, you guys. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. Good to have you on board. I'm excited for my show tonight. There's nothing better than doing kind of a follow-up when everything works out well. You know, life doesn't always work the way we want it. Trust me, I've done that road over and over again. But sometimes you hear somebody's story and you realize that, you know, life was not always easy. And then they find their thing. And they, you know, I'm a big believer in find the thing that makes you come alive and then come alive. You know, find the thing that makes you, I had a guy, an artist one time tell me, Rick, go find the thing that makes you dance and dance. And I think that's the key to life. And the guy you're going to meet in just a minute was on the show. I don't remember how long ago, but it wasn't that long. But he's found the thing that makes him come alive and it's working. So I hope this really inspires you to not give up. It's going to inspire me because we all have moments. Yes, even me. We all have moments when we just don't want to do it anymore. And you got to work hard. So who sponsors our show? Chris Dental Family Dentistry, where your dental care is in great concern to the dentist, Dr. Michael Bratlin, but also your civil liberties. So if you're looking for a guy who cares about not only your health, but also what you believe is what you believe, and freedom of speech is still important, Dr. Bratlin is your man. Also, Albert Taylor, Endless Possibilities, works with people in the Eugene, Springfield area who have different abilities. If you're looking for a job, a career that will make you come alive, definitely working with people with alter abilities is really awesome. They're a great sponsor. We love having them. And Matt McCarl, New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center. If you've never done hyperbarics before, what the hell are you waiting for? It's awesome. You sit in a big tank. They even have ones that are big enough, like you could put a wheelchair in it. So you, if you're claustrophobic, you can go in that. And it's really good for your oxygen levels. It's your blood. It's your body. There's so many studies that show different things that it helps with. Yes, even autism. And Matt McCarl can tell you all about that. And our final sponsor, Rains Heating and Air Conditioning. Right now they have a special going on. If you are one of those people who put off having your heat pump or your furnace system maintained, oh, don't be that guy. I'll tell you what, when Kathy and I always had problems, it was when it got cold. And then you're in line. And so you just stay cold. So they'll come out and do a maintenance for you, do it every couple of years. Brad, big supporter of our show and what we do. So go support him as well. All right, let's get right to the topic tonight. Now, here he is, Hezekiah. Boom. You know what, Hezekiah, right after I met you, then I go to the gym here in Helena, and I meet a guy named Zebediah. Zebediah. And then I met a Zachary, and I'm like going, what is this, God, with all these Old Testament dudes you're bringing into my life here, right. You know? Right. And it's, so Hezekiah came on the show. When was that? Do you remember?
I think it was last December.
Okay. Yeah. And you had just started kind of dabbling in the art of glass blowing.
Yeah. I had almost or right around a year in borosilicate glass. And so I'm a little over 2 years now, about 2 years and a month, actually, if we're to get real precise on it. In this industry, that would still be considered my infancy. You know, I'm still a baby,
but you're a baby with a future. So
yeah,
tell people what's going on for you right now in your life.
Well, so when I got into glass, making marbles was really something that intrigued me, and I was really passionate about it. And that turned into a local marble hunt, where I stashed marbles and people could find them. And that really expanded. I expanded to a neighboring county. I took it to Eastern Oregon, to Grant County. And so I ran two different county hunts throughout this last summer. But the amazing part is it's caught like wildfire in the Pacific Northwest. Like there marble hunting groups all over, you know, Washington, Oregon, California, and they're really, really active, especially here in Central Oregon and like the Willamette Valley.
So is this like the new geo thing?
In this area, most definitely. Most definitely.
So you know, how does it work like with a marble hunt like that? Because I remember they did this in Lincoln City on the Oregon coast with glass balls where they put them out and people would go look for them and stuff like that. Yeah. So how does it work with your marble hunt?
Well, this one, when I started it, you know, I was just stashing marbles that I made and they were getting out there. Well, as the popularity grew, you know, there's a lot of marble artists throughout America, throughout the world, you know, that make borosilicate marbles. And so people just by exploring on their own and liking it so much started hiding their own. There are some groups that they call it like find one, hide one. So they want you to hide one for everyone you find. There's some groups that don't care. It's just at your own, you know, at your own moral compass on how much you should hide versus how much you should find. And it's everyone's just getting involved. So it's not necessarily like one person putting on this hunt. It's all these members, you know, doing their own hunts and their own finds. Kind of like geocaching, except there's not just one specific location. Anyone could hide a marble at any time throughout the day, you know, as you're doing your normal day.
Do they give you hints or something of where they're going to be?
Yeah, they'll take like a lot of times there's a picture and a like a clue, you know, or a riddle or something. And all of most majority of all this is done through Facebook. You know, on group pages, a lot of it's Facebook groups.
So this wasn't going on very much when you came up with this idea, though.
No, not really. It was. There was one Facebook group out there that's really, really big, and it's the world's largest hunt. And it's but it goes across multiple states, and it's been around for I think over 5 years, if I'm correct on that. But it really didn't take off locally like it has until. Well, until I kind of set this spark in motion. And then even like in September, Mazet Studios and Hezy Art Studios, that's mine and the Mazet Brothers studio, we got together and we did like a D.B. Cooper themed marble hunt that we hit up in Battleground, Washington, you know, in the area of where he may or may not have jumped out of that plane. And we got like, I think it was like 35 or 40 artists from around America all sent marbles to us to donate. And so we had this big treasure trove of all these marbles. We went to the park one day and just stashed them all over the place. And
why do you think marbles are becoming, I mean, because, you know, we talked about this last time. My dad, I still have a jar full of marbles that he had as a kid. A big one of the old school marbles. And it sits on my display right next to your other glass blowing stuff. And I have this glass display now that is Hezekiah and, you know, old friends, I guess. Why do you think they're coming back? I mean, they're beautiful. And the ones you make, it's kind of funny. Mine are, you know, the old cat eyes and stuff like that. And the ones you make are just, it's art. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I've really come a long way with marbles because I practice them a lot. And, you know, just like anything, if you practice something enough, you'll get really, really good at it. So marbles and shot glasses are two of my main things that I've really, really fine-tuned on. But I think marbles are coming back because, you know, it's something small that causes a lot of emotion, you know, intrigues you. It's almost mystical in a way when you get one. I actually have one in my hand. I don't know. If you guys
hold it. Yeah. Okay. Look how beautiful that is.
See, that's a flower with a floating opal.
Oh, wow. Hezekiah, so that's beautiful. Yeah.
Side view in the back. But yeah. And so I think that, you know, with something that is so pretty and so unique, and a lot of times it's almost mind bending because you can't understand unless you're someone learning and practicing the art yourself. On how they actually accomplished that, you know? So it's got this little like mystical property in this tiny little piece of glass. And, you know, that's intriguing. And also, who doesn't like hunting for something?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so take me back 10 years. What was your life like?
Oh, it was kind of more just in survival mode, you know? I didn't really have a plan for my life. I was really unhappy. I was depressed, you know. It wasn't appealing, you know. And it's really, really quite different than where it is now. I walk around with so much joy nowadays and just genuine love, like, and don't get me wrong, I face a lot of problems all the time, you know, especially being a young business owner, you know, and trying to create a business, an art business, nonetheless, in this economy that we have today. No doubt it's a challenge, but you know, as long as you can find the joy and happiness in those things, because every time I hit a challenge, it's difficult to do, but I look for, okay, where is the self-improvement? Where is the benefit from having to go through this? And how do I come out the other side, you know, in better standing than when I went into this problem? And that works out pretty well.
And that's been a learning process, because back in the day, you turned to drugs and all kinds of other stuff that weren't healthy.
And most of the time, if I had a problem, it was easier to run away and avoid it than even try and deal with it.
Okay, so what changed? So if it used to be that Hezekiah turned to drugs or turned to something to dull the pain, what? Because there's a lot of people like that right now out there watching or listening to this, and they're going, okay, but what do you do? What's the step you do? What made the difference for you?
It really kind of starts, you know, between the ears and in the heart. It's really internal. You know, if someone's in that state and they really don't want to be there, you have to make that decision. Go, okay, I'm going to put in the work that it takes for a different life, you know, and that starts with decision-making, you know, and it's a difficult thing to do, like I said, but you really, once you make that decision and start looking for other ways to act or to respond, you know, me, myself, it helped to get, you know, a little bit of therapy and some help. That helped a lot. And right when I was trying to make all these changes, I actually got in with a good therapist, and that exponentially sped up the process for me, because we vibed really well, and he just helped me process a lot of things, get it off my chest. And then when I actually started living life and enjoying it, really, there is no desire for drugs. There is no desire for alcohol. It is a desire to be in the studio creating things of beauty and to be spending time with my family. And that's about it. You know, I don't really know how or why it all changed, but it really did for me. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the way I was looking at things, always, you know, just always looking after the beauty and trying no matter what situation I was in to approach it with love and, you know, give everybody and everything grace.
So you used to look at it as they're out, and I'm asking, was it they're out to get me, my life will never matter? Did you find, Hezekiah, that like the things you said, maybe even not out loud, but sometimes out loud, but in your head about who you were, is that, were you your own worst enemy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The inner dialogue in my head was horrible. And what I lived by, like, you know, almost shoot myself down before even trying things, you know, or trying to step out or accomplish anything in life, because my inner dialogue was awful. And it's really weird now, because my inner dialogue is like, that's my biggest cheerleader. You know what I mean? That's the guy that keeps me going on right now. So he roots and he thinks I can do whatever and take over the world right now, you know, my inner dialogue.
So the therapist, did he, cause I went to therapy in my 30s. Cause I was kind of, you know, I didn't have the best relationship with my dad, and I was starting to, I have two sons and they were young, and I was starting to do the same thing that he did to me, to them, unbeknownst to me.
Yeah.
And I could not leave this planet being him, you know, having my sons. And he was a good man. Yeah. I just didn't want my sons feeling about me the way I felt about him when he died.
That's something I can actually relate to quite a bit.
How?
Well, because my father figures in my life have been really, from my point of view, unpleasant. And there are some behaviors that you will pick up as a child that you didn't like, but you won't know you have them until you are in that time frame, in that scenario, to be in that position. And then really, too, you have to really have an observation point of view to realize what you're doing. But if you do, then you're at a perfect chance to stop it.
So what made you go to therapy then? Was it your kid?
No, actually. So I got a DUI back in like 2013. And so I was going through the steps to get my license back, which one of them was like an outpatient drug and alcohol program. And when I got into it, by that point in time, I was ready. I was really over everything. So I jumped in with both feet and I was really enthusiastic and I was happy to be there because I was happy to be everywhere like I am now. And I took to it really well. And I asked him, I was like, well, hey, if this is stuff's really going to work, you know, I've got some anxiety issues and I deal with depression. Is there more therapy options for me? And they're like, oh, yes, absolutely. And so it just elaborated from that until I was in with my one-on-ones, and I went through those until he was like, okay, you know, I think that you really kind of got a handle on things, and if you're ready, I'm ready to see how it goes without, you know, regular therapy. And so it's been a few years now, and I found Glass about the same time I left therapy, and so it was just an amazing transition, and now Glass is my therapy.
So what do you think what do you believe about? Is there a higher power? Is there somebody pulling from Hezekiah? Yeah. Or what do you, I mean?
You know, I was raised Christian, and so I know the Bible well. I believe Jesus was a real person and you know, did walk the earth. But on that same note, there is a lot of Buddhism that I lean into, and that's, I don't know much about Buddhism, but I am realizing the more I learn about it, that I kind of live that way naturally by practice. And so maybe that's something I resonate with more. But at the same time, I'm just trying to be a good person and you know, not have any shame or guilt in my back and do the best I can to be a good human. And I think the rest will work itself out.
Do you think it's kind of cool and funny how Glass came in and what I find interesting about you is you find this it's not a hobby. This is like a part of you. But what you're doing is you're taking something that you can look through, and you're obscuring it just a little bit.
Yep.
And that may be, Hezekiah, the way you see the world. Maybe you always saw the world clear enough, but through this obscurity, and now you get to put that in so that other people can see the world as you see it. Oh my God, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
That can be kind of goosebumps. That's kind of deep. That's kind of deep. I mean, yeah, even for like a dumbass like me, that's kind of like.
Yeah, because there is so much that's like going on in the world. And I acknowledge the fact that there's a lot of uncertainty and turmoil going on in a lot of people's lives here. And on the same note, I acknowledge that it's going on, but I don't let it affect me. And it's not that I don't care, but I do know that, you know, my life and everyone around me are safe because I'm capable and, you know, I'm willing to put the work in hard situations. And I just think if everyone was walking around with a little more love, then maybe the world wouldn't be like it is, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that, except I get so wrapped into it sometimes, Hezekiah, and I think it's from my years in news that, you know, I want to right all the wrongs in the world.
Right.
And I'm just like, you know, it's not my job, but I take it on like that sometimes. And it's been really hard. The last couple months have been really hard.
I could see how. Yeah, most definitely.
And you see the censorship and the, you know, the people controlling what people say. And I'm just, excuse me, I'm really bad at that with that. Because I used to, you know, truly believe like every voice matters, every voice should speak, whether I agree with you or not. And now the world is like, well, as long as you believe what we believe, and that's the hard part for me, you know. So
yep. I'd have to agree with you on that one. That's why I have in a way sort of isolated you know, like my day-to-day life. You know, I'm way out in the country, I work from home now, you know, I've got my own studio built up. So I don't have to go anywhere. I do go out, you know, I go twice a month to go pick up Glass supplies and to make deliveries and stuff. And, you know, my daughter's really active in competitive cheer and whatnot. So I am out and about, but when I go out, it's more of just going through the motions and trying to accomplish what I need to do. But most of our life is lived here in our little piece of heaven, in our sanctuary that we've built for ourselves, you know?
So tell people, like, because Eli, I talked to Eli too. So Eli's like the godfather of glass blowing. I mean, for people that don't know, you know, I mean, this is like, he's a big freaking deal.
He is a big deal.
So yeah. Tell people how you're connected with him and kind of what you've been doing.
Well, you know, my first lesson I ever took, I flew down to Vegas. I splurged. I didn't know if I was even going to, you know, get anything out of it or not. I'd never been in the situation. And I got down there and Eli was giving the class. I met him, we hit it off, and we, you know, pretty good rapport right off the bat. And he recognized, like, hey, this guy's got this passion going for this. And so we stayed in contact when we got back to Oregon and we got a few lessons going on. And then just, it really started to blossom. And now that guy is one of my closest friends. We just flew the end of September, beginning of October, we flew to New Jersey together. Well, landed in Philadelphia, drove to New Jersey. I helped him give his class at the Carlisle School of Glass Arts over there, which is a really big deal. Carlisle makes glass burners that we use, and they're like fifth generation, you know, torch manufacturers. Wow. And a really awesome experience. It was great. And then he's like, hey, why don't you give a marble demo? And so I taught them how to do a flower implosion there. And that was, I loved it. It was amazing. And
how did that make you feel?
Oh, great. It's like, that's really kind of what I would like to do. Once I still got a lot of knowledge to gain in glass myself, but I still feel that what I have gained, I have the ability to share. And so I think that might be where my career is going. I don't know. I'm still pretty open about where this all goes. I'm just kind of letting the universe guide me, you know, and so, things keep falling into my lap. So
after the life that you've lived, which has been tough.
Yeah.
Is this like a pinch me? Is this really me?
All the time, you know, I wake up and I'm happy to be here. And I'm just like, wow, this is what they say or what they mean when they say living the dream. You know, because this is what I want to be doing. You know, I make the neatest stuff. I get to work with some of the coolest guys, and like Eli being one of those, you know, and now, as he puts it, he's like, you're on the team, you know, the shot glass team, because I help him do a lot of his prep work and stuff. I make the shot glass blanks that he turns into amazing, you know, monsters. Yeah. Or
well, Eli has a whole book on shot glasses that he's world famous for in the glass blowing world. So
And I'm one of his men behind the scenes. You know, I put in a lot of work for him, and he is a great guy to work with. He's really appreciative. He's always you know, bestowing as much knowledge as a guy can in the little amounts of time that we spend together. And I see a really good future with him as far as melting glass and our friendship, because we really like to hang out together.
So what is it for you about glass? What is it like?
It's all of it. What isn't it? You know, it's amazing, because I'm using a medium that is a liquid solid, or a solid liquid, however you want to look at it. You know, it's solid when I start, and I heat it up enough to make it the viscosity enough to move it around. And I'm learning to play with its limits as far as what you can do and how much you can stress it. And it's never ending. And glass is one of those things, excuse me, no matter how much I learn or how much I put into this, it will never end, you know, because not one person is capable of exploring all avenues of it, considering that man doesn't know the full capabilities of glass at this point, you know. As far as, you know, I'm in the art side, but there's a whole scientific side to it also, you know. As far as storing, you know, oh, I heard something about them storing a massive amount of information on like a tiny granular size sand piece of glass. And so I was like, wow. Holy smokes, you know, and that's, I'm clueless to that, and I'm still in that industry.
Well, and when I was reading, I think it was the book with Eli, I can't remember, but that the glass really changed the world, because it became the light bulb. It became bottles so that you could put liquid in, like beer and milk and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's people used to blow that back in the day. It wasn't, they didn't have machinery to do that. And it was like,
oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't that be fun to be able to have an original milk jug that somebody blew back in the 1800s?
I'm on the hunt for all sorts. My house is full of antiques. And I've always got my eyes peeled. I go to Goodwill as often as I'm in town just to browse and see if maybe something's landed in there, you know? So yeah, I'm always on the hunt for old glass.
So what is, in terms of glass, like, because you don't just make marbles. I mean, you make octopi. Oh, what is that?
That's a slug with a ladybug on its back.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
You know, just a little
on like an ice cube or something.
Sitting on an ice cube. Here's a.
That's awesome! Oh my gosh, that frog is. So were you always artistic? Keep showing me. I want to see other ones. Were you always artistic?
I was. Yeah, I was really artistic. I love to draw.
Those are so cool.
But drawing. Yeah, so
for those of you on podcast, these are like little frogs on marbles and stuff like that. For those of you who aren't watching this on a video thing.
And then here's like a jar with a flower on it.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's all fume work, so it's really light. You need something dark behind it to get, you know, to get it.
But it's beautiful. It's kind of like the glass ball you made me was that same color of stuff.
Yeah. I fumed up inside of a lot of that and kind of vortexed it out a little bit to give it a little bit of depth. Yeah.
So do you feel like that there's something in you that every time you make something, it's almost releasing something, you know what I mean? Or getting it out.
Yeah. It's kind of almost like a spiritual thing, you know, reminds me of, you know, like monks or whatever. The term enlightenment came from, you know, they used to stare at a candle during meditation to achieve enlightenment. And, you know, I stare at multiple candles all day on my torch, you know? And it's really kind of a Zen moment, you know? And I don't know how to put it into words because, it causes, goosebumps and shivers in a physical scenario where it's probably a good 120 degrees in there, but yet when, you know, gives it just like that wave of overwhelming emotion, and it's a good emotion. It's like, man, I made this, you know. And when you set that piece in the kiln, you're done. There's no feeling like it. And always pushing myself and trying to learn more and make something cooler or better or more attractive than what I have. You know, I'm just in a big competition with myself.
So when you were a kid, did you feel accepted?
No. I didn't accept myself when I was a kid. How could I feel accepted?
You know? And that's what changed.
Yeah. Right. I would think so. Probably. You know, early on, I remember I wasn't ever comfortable being myself, which is something I strive to do every day now. It still gets hard. I get self-conscious quite a bit. But when I become aware of it, I realized like, oh, that's not doing me any good. And people like me when I'm genuine. And so that's who I try and stick to.
Have you changed and limited friends?
Yeah. It's really weird. And it's not something I ever really thought about until it had already passed and happened. But my group of friends now is not the same as it was 5 years ago, not the same as it was 10 years ago. Those people aren't in my life anymore. Now I'm surrounded with people like Eli, you know, and the Mazay brothers, because it's people like I strive to be like, you know, and it's really easy to hang out with them because I'm always there. They give me something to look up to, and they give me pointers and help, you know. So it's all a different ball game now.
Well, you know, they tell you that you are the people you hang out with. And if you pick people that are mentors, mm-hmm. you know, as some of your friends, it's a really good thing because then you're striving to do that and to be better. And that's kind of what life is supposed to be. Like, aren't we supposed to be each other's mentors?
Right. And we're here for self-improvement and the experience, right? I mean, that's kind of what I believe. And I just, I'm already having a good time. So really my only concern is trying to be a better person tomorrow than I was today. And, you know, kind of subscribe to that lifetime learning thing. You know, I'm going to be a lifetime learner because I'm going to try to learn from every day.
So to somebody sitting out listening or watching this and they just think, yeah, but, you know, I can't do marbles or glass or I don't have anything. What do you tell them? Because you've been there.
Well, there's a, you know, and I've come across a lot of people that then they're like, oh, I don't have an artistic talent, or I'm not, you know, I don't have the artistic bone in my body or whatever. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be art. You know, it's more find something that you get to do that is, you know, an expression of yourself that brings you enjoyment, you know, or whatever that may be. Maybe you want to dance, you know, maybe you want to build things.
Or cooking, or there's people who cook and they get, my wife just loves to cook. And that's where she, so you never ask her, can I put a little bit of pepper flakes on that? Cause she's like, what? Cause it's like, right. if I said to one of your frogs, can I get one more spot on that frog? And you'd be like, what the hell? No, it has a perfect amount of spots. She doesn't need another spot. But don't you think maybe as human beings, we underestimate our creativity and ability?
All the time. And that is, you know, people have to believe in the impossible. You know, if I didn't believe in the impossible, I would have talked myself out of all this 5 years ago, because I would have convinced myself it was impossible. You know, because 5 years ago, if you would have told me I'd be sitting where I'm sitting today, doing what I'm doing, I would have told you, you need to go get your head checked, you know?
Do you think that desperation is the catalyst that makes things happen for us? When we get that desperate that we need, we're willing to get rid of anything that needs to be gone?
You know, I think desperation could be, like you said, the catalyst, what starts that in the beginning. But then once change starts happening, or once someone starts feeling results, I remember the first time I was like, whoa, like my life is actually, I'm doing it. It's changing. That was all I needed, because then once that happened, I was like, oh, if I made that happen, I can make this happen. Now I can make this happen. And now I've got so many, I'm going to make this happens going on. I don't really have time for depression or anxiety or any of that stuff, you know, because I'm just doing so much of what I enjoy.
So the real key was the therapy, getting yourself somebody to talk to say, mm-hmm. you know, Hezekiah, you don't see yourself clearly.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was the real key to my success, was getting into therapy and having a, you know, someone helped me build like a metaphorical toolbox for my thoughts, you know, so that when I had challenging thoughts arise or challenging emotions, I had the tools to appropriately handle them, you know, and that's something I've leaned into hard. And, you know, as I live life, I'm constantly learning new things to how to help keep myself in check, control my emotions and keep myself centered through difficult tasks, and know that, hey, it's all going to be okay, because every difficult situation is just an opportunity for a little bit of self-growth.
I had somebody write me, a friend of mine, and he said something to me the other day, which was pretty profound, because there's some changes coming for my wife and me that we're looking at. And he said, well, it sounds like God is trying to make things hard so that you'll take the next step to the next thing. And I went, yeah, you know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's that, you know, and for me, I look at that as desperate, because I have to be desperate to move, to do things. But, you know, when you get to that place where you go, if everything is like a roadblock, then what if, you know, okay, so I'll just go through it. So, because you and I get each other, that's what's so funny. I really like talking to you. So if you get up to this thing and there's a roadblock, I can keep beating my head against it to try to tear it down, or I can just stop and go, okay. Is there a way out there? Is there a way here? Or do I climb over it and wait for the next step? And sometimes you go under it, but where's the path? There's only going to be one way. And, you know, and a lot of times what I do is I go for the easy way. So, oh, hey, let's go this direction. And then I have to come back to that roadblock again and go, okay, I guess we're going to climb. We're going to do the hard one, and we're going to climb up and over it. So
and there's been a few times I've had to take a detour and return to come back to something that was difficult.
But that's part of the journey, right?
Yep. And really, it's funny, the journey, that's it right now, because it's all in the process and the journey. And really, that's where my joy is coming from, you know, because right now my real concern isn't with where I'm going to be in 5 years, but it's enjoying getting there now, you know, because I live an enjoyable life now. So that's really, really what it's about, you know.
How do you think your kids see you differently from 5 years ago to today?
Well, quite differently, actually. Yeah, it's wild now. They tease me, you know, for being a celebrity, because we'll be places out in public or whatever at the store, and people will come up to me now and they're like, hey, you know, you're the Marvel guy or whatever. And they've seen a lot of that. And so, you know, they tease me for being that. I think that I set a really good example as far as, you know, putting your mind to something and achieving it. They've watched me achieve a lot of small victories and a lot of big ones actually here recently. You know, I've completely restructured how my family lives financially, as well as where we live and the means that we live with. And, you know, I did do it all with Glass, but it was this dance between Glass and I, you know, that's because I love Glass and Glass probably loves me, you know, for the wonderful things that I do with it. And so it was really just leaning into love and finding the enjoyment, you know, and I have learned that money does follow happiness. You know, I try not to decide on whether I'm going to do things based on the financial gain or loss of it, as far as shows or gigs or whatever. I try and look at it more as like, okay, is it worth my time? Would these people be accepting of what I'm trying to show them or what I'm trying to create, you know? And it's weird because when I pick those based on love, those are the ones that I tend to financially benefit from the most. I'm like, I would have never thought I would have made that much money in this small little town. Wow. You know, completely overwhelmed with blessings. And it's like, so don't worry about the money. The money will follow. Find what you love and just put everything you got into it. And the rest of your life will fall into place. I promise.
I think I'm going to take that advice. Yeah. You don't know. It's what's really funny, Hezekiah, is I needed this today. I needed you to be my therapist for me today, because that's where I'm at. There's something I want to do, and it means taking a huge risk. And
just go for it. If it makes you happy, you got to do it.
Yeah. And what would you do? You think your kids are proud of you?
Oh, I know they are. I can see it. I can see it in their eyes. You know,
that's got to feel really good for you.
It's pretty cool. They're like, you know, I got a text from my daughter a few weeks back, because she's seen the paper before I did, and I had this whole front page, you know, cover on it. And so it was really, really cool to receive that from her and say, look what you did, Dad. You know, I was like, oh man, cool. Grab me a copy, would you? You know, there's no way to explain that experience. It's awesome because you know, it's a chain reaction all centered around love, you know, and we get these little bestowed gifts on us everywhere we look.
You know. So what would you tell your therapist?
Oh man, like, look at me now, you know, you see what I'm doing? Thank you, you know. I would let him know how much I truly appreciate all the time and energy that he helped, you know, because it was a joint effort. I put in the work, but he gave me the guidance, you know, and there's no way I could ever repay that except for maybe, hopefully, you know, by doing something like this or whatever, someone hearing something I say and being able to take something away from it, you know.
Well, and also remember every piece of glass you blow.
Yeah.
you're sending out your piece of yourself. Every yep. time. Art, that's what it is. It's a piece of Hezekiah.
Yeah, I put a lot of love into everyone.
So tell people if whatever you can. I know there's some that's secret, but can you give people an idea of what's coming up next for Hezekiah?
Okay, so we got a lot of action going on in Vegas. We've got Vegas coming up in 2024, Glass Vegas to be exact. I'll be making an appearance there, and always with the marbles. But really, I'm going to do my best to reintroduce the old practice of playing marbles and not just hunting marbles. But you know, if you go back 50, 60 years,
I remember when I was a kid.
Marbles were a staple for kids, and I think maybe we need to bring those back and try and see how that happens. So that's something I've been working on a lot lately, as well as just keeping my normal production of my art up, as well as expanding my experience in glass and trying new things. But I just keep an eye out for Hezzy Art Hider's little marble sets. You know, we're gonna see where this takes us.
So you know, there's an old saying that. And I think in the world we live in, a lot of people have lost their marbles. But Hezekiah, you have found yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had to lose them to find them. You know, that's the joke around the house.
That's very good. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, Facebook is probably the best way. Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram.
And Hezzy Art?
Yeah. Hezzy Art or just Hezekiah Meekum. On Facebook, on Instagram, it's Hezekiah 1984. But yeah, if they get through me there, send me a direct message and make contact with me. We can take care of all their glass needs. I'm really easy to work with, and I respond as quick as possible.
All right. Yeah. Hezekiah Meekum. Dude, and this is not bullshit. I needed you. You made my night. I got things to think about. So if nobody else gets anything out of this podcast, it just doesn't matter. I did.
Well, it's cool because I really enjoy talking to you because, you know, I grew up on Rick Dancers. So I feel like a star every time I get to talk to you.
Well, today you helped me a lot and I appreciate it. Okay, buddy. I will talk to you later. And that little Christmas ball you gave me, it'll be hanging on my tree this year. So
awesome.
It's already hanging in the house. Everything's out. I mean, it's like you see your art everywhere. It's a centerfold in my house. It's like in there. And people come in, and you know what I love about your stuff too is, well, they pick up the little octopus and they pick up the turtle and they feel it and like that. But then they pick up the marbles and they roll them like this.
Yeah.
And they spin them around to see the patterns and stuff. And that's it's funny because I would think that people would spend more time looking at the octopus and those because they're cool.
Right.
But it's like there's something about that kind of draws them in. And it's a feel thing. You have to feel the marble.
Everyone's attracted to spheres for some reason. You know, even if you have like a stone and you get it, you know, shaped down so it's perfectly sphere, it just seems like it's more appealing to people for some reason.
Maybe it's because we live on one.
Or that's what my thought is, you know, we float around on a big round rock. So maybe that's why we like round rocks. It's
feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hezekiah, thanks again. Appreciate you your time joining us. Okay.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
See you later. See you later. Okay. And our sponsors, isn't that guy great? Yeah. That's, you just got to watch me go through a therapy session. that's what it looks like. Except normally when I went through therapy, I cried a lot, but there are some tears that will flow when I'm done. You just don't get to see them. That's my part, but I got some answers tonight. So I know what I'm going to go do the thing that makes me come alive. I'm going to dance because I want to do something more. I'm not done. I'm 64 years old. I'm not done. So if you think you can get rid of me that easy, you're fucking high. So anyway, I want to thank our sponsors, Cristental Family Dentistry, Albert Taylor, Endless Possibilities, New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center, and Rains Heating and Air Conditioning. Have a great night. we'll see you on Thursday. Found a new brewery in Three Forks, Montana. Super cool guy, veteran, or served in his country, and now he's making beer, and they made the coolest place, you guys. So let me tell you real quick. So there's things in this. The owners are bridge makers, and so they have these historic metal bridges that they've torn down, and they made tables and stuff out of them. It's such a cool place. I'm going to go tomorrow and shoot it, and you guys will see it on Thursday. That's it for now. Have a great night. Share this on your page, because Facebook and all them are constantly throttling me. So anything you can do to help spread the word and let people see this video, that helps all of us. All right. Have a good night. See ya.